Fans have now dramatically changed. Welcome.
Yes, just a little bit, Steve. Thanks for having me. Yep, we're flying by the seat of our pants this year, but I guess that's to be expected. And it's not, you know, it's not entirely shocking given the positives that have come out of Baltimore, the positive test results that have come out of Baltimore in the last few days. But I certainly understand frustration too. I mean, I see it as a case where the two times that the NFL has acted out of an abundance of caution, as they would put it, or two out of three times, have landed squarely on the Steelers, despite no fault of their own,
right.
Despite just a few weeks ago, the 49ers being forced to play through an issue. There was caution thrown to the wind there when a Thursday night game was at stake. We've seen the Patriots lose their starting quarterback the day before a game, and it only get moved back 24 hours.
Yep.
They had to play. So it's hard to square the logic right now with the NFL's decision.
Again, I think the issue here is contact tracing, because it's, and no offense, it's five players that have it, which means what? Well, they have 53. What's the expansion? 53. So that means 48 don't.
Yeah. Right. Well, and you could practice squad guys, and, and you could say upwards. Even if they, I think they may have gotten two additional positives today. I just saw a couple minutes ago. So you could even be talking about seven players out of about 70 who are, you know, between full roster and practice squad who are positive. I think I saw Trace actually came in. McSorley is one of the ones who was tested positive today. So, you know, I understand the process of the contact tracing and you want to conduct that. But if there's two ways to go about this, you either push the game off, and okay, if that's going to be your blanket policy, then it all kind of falls in line with everything we've seen, except the Titans-Steelers game, which was completely rescheduled. And really, the one that sticks out, again, is this 49ers game from a couple weeks ago, which I would imagine there was still contact tracing going on, and it was hard to guarantee. You can't guarantee a 110% secure environment at any point this season, I think. So that's what has a lot of the Steelers frustrated and has a lot of their fans frustrated.
Have they picked a time for the game on Sunday, or is it still TBD?
Not that I've noticed in the last 5 to 10 minutes. It was still TBD. I think if you look at it, it would make a ton of sense, at least to fulfill their obligation to NBC, to simply put it on Sunday night and move the Bears and Packers to a 1 o'clock slot.
I moved the Bears and Packers to Saturday. So,
or just off the schedule. Can we just take that one? No.
Make it a Monday night doubleheader or something.
And who knows? You know, they might be waiting just to see how things come back tomorrow with the Ravens, because if you get a couple more positives tomorrow, then we might be looking at pushing this thing back in all seriousness to Monday or Tuesday. You know, we've seen that happen earlier this year. So again, if that's going to be their blanket policy, all right, I'm on board with that. I get it. I don't like the fact that the Steelers got, you know, jobbed out of their bye week and now are getting jobbed out of what would have been like a little mini bye, a long weekend. But as Mike Tomlin has said, we do not care. It's a direct quote. So they'll roll with the punches and use the extra couple days to prepare. And this doesn't preclude the Ravens. You know, this doesn't mean J.K. Dobbins and Mark Ingram are magically going to be able to play again.
That's right.
When this game is ready to go, because they did test positive. So this is more about the close contacts and who would have or could be held out based on that scenario.
Yet this team is still 10-0 at this point. There's always been the factor of, over the years, the Steelers played down to the Jags. The Steelers played down to when the Raiders were bad. They played down, you know. What does it tell? Is there something that about the maturity of this team, where it just looks like they just play?
Yeah, I think it was. I want to say it was Cam Hayward who said something yesterday to the effect of, you know, he was asked why the team seems to be buying into the Mike Tomlin ethos more this year than perhaps they have in a long time. You know, Mike Tomlin he's very no nonsense.
Yeah.
He's going to give it to you straight. He's also going to give it to you in a way that makes it very memorable, right? You know, he does that with his team on purpose. He's got all those Tomlinisms dialed up because he knows it'll reinforce the thought and make it easier to remember what he's trying to get these guys to focus on. And Cam said, in effect, you know, paraphrasing, but, you know, it just feels like we've connected with it better this year. And I think that's because you got a lot of veterans on this team. You got guys like Roethlisberger and Hayward, and you can go up and down the roster. Not that young guys aren't having an impact, certainly. I mean, Deontay Johnson, Claypool, there's plenty of young guys that are having an impact. But I think it is a very veteran laden team. You know, guys in important spots, and then you have guys stepping up. You know, Spillane and Devin Bush's absence. You know, Kevin Dotson stepped up for 3 or 4 weeks, and David DeCastro's absence. You know, you have Joe Hayden go out for a couple series on Sunday, and all of a sudden, Justin Lane is in there making plays, and we haven't seen much from him since he was drafted. So you see Cam Sutton step up in Mike Hilton's absence at nickel. They've had all of that happen this year, and I think it is a great credit to not just what Mike Tomlin has done and his ethos taking over, but the players buying into it.
No question about that. They also got a running game going on Sunday. Again, it is Jacksonville. But moving forward, when you get to the one and dones, how important is that going to be to get some semblance of running game to go with Ben?
Well, you've at least got to have the threat of it. You know, if they want to go out there against, you know, whoever it may be in the playoffs, Baltimore again, Indianapolis, the Raiders, Kansas City, Cleveland, whoever it is, they're going to have to be able to throw the ball. If they throw it like they have this year, those quick timing routes, Ben getting rid of the ball in less than 2.4 seconds, that's fine. I have no problem with that being the crux of the offense, but you've got to at least have the threat of a run game. And I think that's somewhat what they got back towards down in Jacksonville. They'll have to do it again when they finally play this Ravens game, whether it's Sunday or another day, whenever it may be. I think they've got an opportunity based on who's going to be out for the Ravens because of positive tests and other injuries to run the ball successfully against Baltimore. So if they can continue to build that positive momentum in running the ball, because you're going to need it, where you need it is you get the ball back and you're up by two on the Chiefs in the AFC Championship game, and you've got to pick up three first downs inside of 4 minutes to salt the game away, and they've got all three of their timeouts. You want to force them to use them. You want to get under the two-minute warning and all that before you maybe have to give the ball back. You'd like to not give it back at all, but you've got to run clock, and it takes – we've seen more batted passes at the line from Ben Roethlisberger this year than ever before because he's trying to get it out so quickly. One ball gets tipped up and picked off, or one ball gets batted down, and it stops the clock. Those are the kind of little things that can keep you from salting a game away in those, as you put it, one and dones.
So let's get to Ben Roethlisberger for a moment. I think the general perception would be like, wow, look at him. He's an MVP candidate and so forth. So in reality, how well has he played?
I think it's been remarkable the fact that he's been willing to completely change the way he plays. I mean, we did see a little bit of an evolution Sunday in Jacksonville. You know, he extended a couple plays a little bit with his feet. He chucked the ball downfield more than he has at all this year. And that's good. They need to do that as well to keep defenses honest. But the fact that he's been willing to take a step back, especially from 2018, he led the league in interceptions. Take a step back and consider how important it is to simply possess the ball and just say, you know what, 7 yard slants and 7 yard outs. Heck, 3 yard slants and zero routes to the line of scrimmage. I don't care. Let's just complete passes and continue to move the ball down the field, and let's keep possession of the ball. And I know, as Ben Roethlisberger, I've got to be careful with the football, more careful than I've ever been before, because I'm 38. I got a reconstructed arm. And I have this wealth of wide receiving targets. I've got 4 wide receivers, 5 wide receivers I trust, 2 tight ends I trust, and a back out of the backfield that can catch the ball. I've got to use those weapons to my benefit and my offense's benefit and not worry about whether my average air yards per attempt impresses some guy at Pro Football Focus or not.
Yeah, I understand that. Always a pleasure. Chris, to you and your family, happy Thanksgiving. Thankful for the friendship. Thankful for the times that you're on the show, and you are very much appreciated.
Same to you, Steve. I always love jumping on with you guys. Happy Thanksgiving to you and yours. Stay healthy, stay safe, and by gosh, let's get a couple wins against the Harbaughs this weekend, okay?
Yeah, I know. I hear you loud and clear. Loud and clear.
Happy Thanksgiving, my man.
Thanks.